Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Thank you, Mr. President, for giving us some time and some flexibility in today's agenda to make a very special and important presentation.
A year after Emery's death, her case was still unsolved, and someone new became interested. Los Angeles City Council member Jose Huizar from District 14. He presented a motion to the City Council, which was broadcast on LA's local government channel. Emery's family lined up behind him with a portrait of Emery. This was back in 2007.
I am presenting a motion to renew a $50,000 reward that we put out a few months ago for any information leading to the arrest of the individual or individuals who are responsible for the death of a beautiful 14-year-old girl, Emery Munoz.
Jose Huizar asked the LA City Council to renew a reward for any information in her case.
The family is seeking answers. The family is seeking justice.
His speech was a plea for information, but it also had an underlying message.
We have reason to believe, or the LAPD has told us, that the death of Emery Munoz might have been related to rave parties or fly parties that draw upon young people.
His speech was a rallying cry for the city of Los Angeles to crack down on party crews.
The young people who go to these parties are not necessarily bad kids. It's any one of our kids who go to these parties who are lured by the excitement of fun and enjoyment. But we have to put everyone on notice that these parties may and can be dangerous, and the city should be doing more to stop these.
Podcast Network, Vice, and LA Studios. This is Party Cruise, the untold story. I'm Janice Yamoka.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule. You'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
I have a few memories of police raiding our parties. One time, I remember the lights, music, smoke machine, everything shutting off. The entire backyard went dark. Kids started running through any exit, trying to hide behind cars on the street to avoid getting a ticket. Cops with flashlights were shining them in our faces, forming in the back to clear out the house. I remember running away. I was wearing sandals and my feet got wet because of the dewy grass. But I never got caught. Even when the parties didn't get raided, the cops were always in the back of our minds. And that's because we were on their minds.
A new generation of LA gang members is emerging from the underground party scene. Oh, they don't start violent, but it doesn't take them long to get there.
The people who throw these kind of parties are called party crews, but police say they're very similar to gangs.
LAPD wasn't just shutting down our parties. It was way more than that. It felt like they saw our party crews as just another version of a gang.
It is a LA City gang that started off as a tag-banging gang. They are morphing into a traditional Hispanic turf gang.
Law enforcement officials say they're coordinating on every level to attack the problem.
For us, dealing with the cops was just part of being in the scene.
Sometimes 10 or 15 cop cars blocking off the street.
Our first party, a bunch of cops came. And of course, we would hide the NOS tank.
If the owner of the house was there, they would give them tickets.
Sometimes if they were like those massive warehouse parties, there would be helicopters.
They'll take the amplifiers and the Serato system, and then they'll give the DJ a citation too. You lose your gear and you have a court date.
Way back before Emery's death, the police were already on a mission to shut down flyer parties. But the 2000s marked a new era in the battle between cops and kids. In this episode, I talk to the people who tried to shut us down.
I'm Captain Jay Roberts, James Roberts. I go by Jay.
This is Captain James Roberts. He's currently the commanding officer of Rampart Area. Back in the 2000s, he used to bust flyer parties. I sat down with him in an LAPD press room. In the tape, you can hear the squeaking of Jay's belt, which held his gun and a flashlight.
Who can afford it? So
I would say like under 16.
Jay was ready for our interview.
No, but I mean,
right, it was
but to
that
refresh
time, right?
My memory of all this, yeah. I actually had a file.
Oh, wow.
On all the party-related stuff, and it brought it all back.
He had pulled out all the files that he had related to flyer parties. As a teen, I would have never had the chance to interview or talk to an officer like this on equal footing. Now, all these years later, I'm sitting across from someone who patrolled the scene I was a part of. I was curious, how did he remember this time?
I don't think party crews would have attracted any attention had they not been wildly successful with hundreds of people showing up.
Busting parties ended up being a major part of his job.
It was a big deal, and I had a big role in it.
Jay used to work as a sergeant at the Foothill Division, which serves the Northern Valley, the Pacoima-Tahunga area. He says they'd get a lot of phone calls from the community.
There were 43,000 party-related calls in the city of L.A. for 2003. Leading that was that Foothill area. They had 3,404 party called. We were the party capital of Los Angeles.
And in the early 2000s, his division would respond to these phone calls by going out to parties, knocking on the door.
And say, hey, you need to turn your music down. Here's your warning slip. And then if I, you know, have to come back, I'll have to impound some sound equipment or, you know, write somebody a ticket.
The black and white police cars that were sent out to do this, they were referred to as party cars. Literally, it's like the opposite of a party bus. These cars were trying to prevent parties. But they weren't working.
Well, you'd never come back because, you know, the person who called the police in the first place is so frustrated because nothing was done. And they won't call back. But if it did call back, by the time we got back around, it was 2 a.m, the party was already over. So completely ineffective.
Jay remembers one party in particular in 2004 that he says sparked a change in his division.
It was a birthday party for a kid. It ended up being a flyer party. They put flyers out.
The party was on a Saturday.
And two kids were shot, you know, and I think they were in their 20s, one from Panorama City and one from Sylmar. That sort of began, at least as far as the LAPD went, a shift in how we dealt with just loud or unlawful parties to begin with. We had a press conference afterwards with the city attorney's office saying, okay, here's the deal. You know, we're now going to respond to these. And it was my job at the time to do something about it.
So they switched it up. They had to develop new strategies to assess parties, like sending undercover cops to check them out.
A couple of plainclothes cops in a plane car to low-key assess, low-key talk to whoever. No uniform, no scary cop presence. And if the party had to be shut down and it moved to another place, they were in the loop. They were party goers too.
Officers in everyday clothes with a regular car. They just needed to blend in, period. They would provide intel, like if a party moved locations to avoid the cops.
Would it be a young undercover cop? How would you like under the radar as an adult?
It would be somebody with
baby face, not
kidding. Yeah, somebody.
Really?
Well, somebody
that,
you know,
that could pass.
We have 20-something cops. We had young cops that could do that. But you're right; they did have to be legitimate.
Were they Latinos? Like, were they like
in Pacoima? I would say
the undercover cops.
Yes, absolutely. I would say that 50% of our officers were Latino. Most of the guys in that detail were Latino officers.
It was the beginning of what LAPD referred to as the Party Suppression Team, the PST for short. Having parties, even really big out of control ones, is a normal part of teenage life. But whether the cops show up and slap you on the wrist when the neighbors call, or create entire teams devoted to targeting your parties, clearly has a lot to do with where you live and who you are. And when it came to us, Latinx teens in LA, these undercover cops would actually go out and assess when our parties were dangerous and when they were, in their opinion, okay.
We'd go out and we'd have undercover units that would just look. And if it was just a quinceañera, birthday party, family barbecue, make contact. You know, say, hey, can you guys keep the music down? You know, make sure you're mindful of your neighbors. And then they'd say, hey, we got one over here. Let's respond over here. And the black and whites would respond and they would deal with it in whatever way. Whether it be, you know, we got here too late. There's already 300 people here and we need to shut it down.
They even started coordinating with Los Angeles schools.
I appeared in front of the school board to educate them on what a flyer party was. They're just clueless as to what the kids are doing. So just putting on their radar. When you see this strangely written, you know, graphic and somebody slaps it up on the school wall or bulletin board or leaves it underneath the windshield wipers of all the cars in the high school parking lot, you'll know what this is.
Officers were scouring the internet too. Remember, in the early 2000s, party promotion was also happening online.
We would also start to monitor the internet. Back then, it wasn't so much social media, but it was the internet.
Cops would monitor sites like drunkenfaded.com and clubevents.com. Social media was pretty new at the time. MySpace was a big player. They searched online with keywords like underground parties, rave, and flyer parties. And they also monitored the phone numbers listed on the back of the flyers, the info lines that were updated with directions on the day of the party.
We started calling in the lines. We started finding out when the parties would be. We started showing up. We started nipping them in the bud. And they started, you know, getting more evasive. And so, you know, cat and mouse, cat and mouse.
Kids got really creative avoiding the cops.
You know, when you're at a party and you're in the backyard and the police come and the music shuts down, I kid you not, we would always start singing happy birthday.
This is Max, a flyer party goer in the San Gabriel Valley. Our senior producer, Sophia Palisa Carr, spoke to him on the phone.
We'd always sing happy birthday. It's so stupid, right?
What? And that would work?
No, it never worked. It never worked.
Oh, but my God.
We'd always sing happy birthday when the police walked in, like it was some stupid birthday party and not a, you know, freaking flyer party.
It wasn't black and white.
This is Jay again, talking about the party suppression team.
There were party crews that were loosely associated groups of people. There were people in it for the money. There were tag bangers that were associated that sometimes didn't get along with the crews. The crews, you know, were everything from just good kids trying to have fun all the way over to criminal enterprises. You know, that was also what made it difficult. How do we figure out what's going on here and deal with it appropriately?
You mentioned criminal enterprise. I wanted to know, like, what you mean by that.
Well, it's illegal to charge. It's illegal, obviously, to sell, you know, alcohol. Illegal to sell nitrous oxide balloons. And that's the level I'm talking about. Once there's money involved.
I'm curious, like, how would you or, like, people on your team make the distinctions between, like, whether a party was violent or not? Like, how would you decide that?
If there was the presence of gang members or a clear commercial enterprise, if it was, you know, 10 kids getting together that call themselves a party crew and weren't charging anything, we'd still probably shut it down because it's, well, I take that back. It would depend. That's that fine line right there. If there was no commercial end to it, it would depend. You know it when you see it. Somebody asked the definition of pornography once to somebody, and their answer was, I can't define it, but I know it when I see it. It was, you knew, you could feel it, whether this was going to be a safe environment or a dangerous environment.
I was going to mention, like, gang members also go to quinceañeras.
Yes.
And, like, they're also, like, going to wedding.
You know, they're part of the community. And so that's not to say there aren't, you know, these elements weren't a part of other parties. You know, there were plenty of, you know, family gatherings that went fine. And then there were other family gatherings for that reason that didn't go fine.
I wanted him to know from my own experience as a teen that, yeah, the parties could get out of control. But the cops showing up and the way they went about it, that could feel violent too.
At least, like, in my experience, like, there was a lot of parties. There were a lot of parties. They got broken up. And it was, like, really, it was, like, a scary on both ends, though. It was scary because there were shootings, but it was also scary because the police would storm in there. Like, I don't know. Like, it was scary. Like,
right,
it's scary,
right,
for
right.
a 15-year-old to,
yeah,
like,
helicopters and,
yeah,
and cops
to, like,
and,
hide in a closet,
yep,
is, like, kind of, it's scary. Now that I'm an adult and I can understand the dangers that we were in, but, like, as a child, it's scary.
Right.
You know?
Out of all the new strategies, the biggest change that the party suppression team made was to cite people right away. Don't knock on the door and warn them. Instead, give people a ticket for loud music or selling alcohol without a license right away. Jay says his team wanted to find the parties and shut them down before they could get big, especially before a helicopter gets sent out.
This sort of more strategic, surgical way of dealing on a more low-key way wouldn't involve tons of police cars and a big presence in a helicopter with a night sunlight over. That's how things were dealt with when things had gone bad already. In this model, we try to avoid that. We're not just going to warn anymore. We're going to say, hey, this is illegal and unlawful, and there's a high potential of violence. Here's your ticket right now. Or this thing's shut. That's what changed.
In 2004, Jay says the party suppression team was seen as a beacon of success. Jay remembers presenting their strategy to LAPD higher-ups.
I made a presentation at that meeting, and that became part of the citywide response. The recommendation that if you have a problem with regard to flyer parties, you know, rave parties, crew parties, this is the best practices on how to deal with them, this party suppression team concept, and the idea that you assess parties for their violence potential. Our department policy changed in 2007 to allow for that immediate citing or arresting upon the first response if the situation warranted it, whereas before it was always a warning. And it was so effective that it became a thing and was adopted citywide.
That's after the break.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
This program will provide you with basic information to assist you in your duties. Identify flyer parties, understand the drug and alcohol use common at flyer parties.
By the end of 2004, LAPD created a training video for the entire department on how to handle flyer parties based on the party suppression team. These are clips from the video.
The most effective tool that can be used by law enforcement in the policing of flyer parties is rapid response.
What started small with just the Foothill Division would spread.
These are a few of the points that should be considered from the Foothill Party Suppression Plan. Maintain zero tolerance for loud or unlawful parties. Gather intel before, during, and after parties have been identified. Identify, assess, terminate. Deploy a party suppression team or party car.
We obtained the training video through a public records request. Watching it reminds me of how much we were being watched and studied, and how we had no idea. Or at least, I had no idea.
Inside these locations and during the party, promoters go the distance to provide a stimulating mix of drugs, alcohol, and music that encourages dancing, competition, and promiscuity.
The video features grainy footage from flyer parties with faces blurred out and pictures of flyers. One of the parties had the name Reggaeton versus Hip Hop Part 3. The video also showed partygoers inhaling Nas from balloons.
Nitrous oxide stations are set up to feed the crowd with a mind-altering substance that can create a volatile situation.
Actually, Nas was a big part of the training video.
You can arrest someone for nitrous oxide as long as they're possessing it with the intent to consume.
When I see stuff like this, I can't help but think that they become part of the permanent record. Traces of my teenage years, examined and filed away.
By their nature, flyer parties include elements that create a fertile environment for violence.
They become history. At least one version of it. One version of us.
We took an interest because that may have been the most violent year of flyer or rave parties in our history. I mean, there was seemed like they were going every month. Somebody was being shot or injured.
Bernard C. Parks was a chief of the LAPD in the late 90s. He was the chief during the Rampart scandal, the investigation into an anti-gang unit in the Rampart Division that was accused of massive corruption. He later became a city council member. He represented the 8th District for over 10 years, which serves South LA.
We had what appeared to be almost every weekend, even though there may not have been a shooting, there were these activities that were unsupervised and people were taking advantage of abandoned houses or abandoned buildings.
In 2004, the same time Captain Jay Roberts was setting up the party suppression team, Councilmember Bernard C. Parks put out a motion to create a party task force. According to the motion, 13 people died from gunshot wounds at flyer parties in LA County. He wrote that, quote, party crews advertise wet t-shirt and g-string contests or hot women, or that, quote, parties act as nightclubs, though without fire codes, security checks, and doormen asking for ID. During our interview, the only time Bernard really got excited was explaining to me how he would go after party crews by citing people for things like putting up a flyer.
People use other people's property, such as city lighting poles and telephone poles, to advertise something that they're getting a financial benefit, which is illegal. And then the other issue is who cleans them up when the party's over? No one. And so it's not like they go and post them and then go tear them down after the party.
I never knew that you couldn't put a flyer on a city pole or a lamppost. So all those concert posters I see off the freeway are like...
They're all illegal.
It wasn't the first time illegal raves or underground parties were brought to the attention of the city council. In 1996, council member Richard Alarcón filed a motion asking for a few things, including recommendations on how to crack down on illegal parties. Then, in 2004, Bernard filed his motion. And based off the files we found, that was the last time flyer parties were brought up in the city council. Until 3 years later, 2007, the year that José Huizar brought Emery's case to the council. José Huizar is someone you may have heard of, especially if you live in L.A.
Breaking news, L.A. City Councilman José Huizar has been charged with a 34-count federal grand jury indictment alleging wide-ranging political corruption.
Not the most popular, Angelino. Anyway, long before Huizar made headlines, in 2007, he brought the motion to the city council, asking for them to renew the reward for $50,000 for any information in Emery's case. He also asked the city council to crack down on flyer parties and party crews. This is part of his motion, which was read to the room by his chief of staff, Joseph Avila, at a public safety committee meeting.
The Los Angeles Police Department believes that Emery is one of many young people who died as a consequence of the violence that surrounds flyer or rave parties, as they're sometimes known. Over the last few years, police have made attempts to crack down on these parties by enforcing state and local criminal laws, but unfortunately, hundreds of young adults continue to attend these parties.
Again, a reminder that there was and is no actual evidence that we know of Emery's murder being directly tied to a flyer party. LAPD responded to Huizar's motion with various ideas to combat parties. They suggested working with the Los Angeles School District to make pamphlets for parents and kids, and even lesson plans for high school health classes on the dangers of flyer parties, including substance abuse. They also suggested looking into stricter penalties for promoters who violated the law, or making them reimburse the city for any costs if police had to intervene. The city attorney looked into it and ultimately reported that there were already enough laws on the books and that LAPD just needed to use them to stop the parties and all the problems that come with them.
There is a responsibility on the part of building owners to secure vacant properties. That's on the books, and the fines associated with that are actually the maximum allowable under the municipal code, $1,000 and or 6 months in jail.
But what I heard in these recordings of committee meetings is that it wasn't so simple.
I'd like to see that. At the same time, the caution is that when you start talking about homeowners having events where money changes hands, people are often, certainly it's in the same neighborhoods, they're having charity fundraisers, they're having all sorts of events where people are making contributions, and that's, you're allowed to do that in your own home.
Exactly.
And so it's a real thin line.
It's a real thin line. A real thin line between what city council or LAPD saw as a legitimate party and what's not. Or more like, who is allowed to hold these events? Homeowners having charity fundraisers? I know it's a small detail, but it feels like it's not noise or exchange of money they were taking issue with, but the actual people who were partying.
What did you think was the best solution to stopping violence from happening? And like what safe partying could look like in like 2004, let's say?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. I knew that safe partying would look like family gatherings and not party crew gatherings.
This is Captain Jay Roberts again.
Party crew gatherings created the environment for violence to evolve. Family parties, less so. But then again, who wants to go to the family party when they're a 13-year-old? You know, so I didn't have that answer. This is just an age-old problem. You know, young kids need to burn off steam, need to dance, need to have fun, need to howl at the moon. Where can they do that safely? And where can somebody from a community with less resources do that safely? It's tougher for some of the folks in this neighborhood to find something to do legally and lawfully because it costs more.
I'm kind of surprised to hear that he's articulating an idea I think about a lot. How can kids who have a need to let loose do it in a safe way? I also asked Bernard C. Parks, the former city council member, about this.
Like house parties, illegal house parties, they might not have the resources to get those permits or like rent out a space or pay for security. And those things are important, but what if they lack the resources to even begin to do it the right way?
Just like anything else, if you don't have the money to go in business, you can't go in business.
But the thing is, the main focus of the party crew scene wasn't about being in business. Some people did earn money organizing, but that wasn't the main goal. Historically, the term safe space has been used to describe the spaces in which movements are organized, like college campuses or churches, like the anti-Vietnam War movement or the civil rights movement. The way we talk about safe spaces today, we often mean spaces in which people can express their identity freely, like at a gay bar or a Black student union. For me, when I think about party crews, it's in these spaces that I was able to let loose and try things out and be myself. Still, I have to recognize that just because it was safe for me to be myself doesn't mean it was necessarily physically safe, at least not all the time. The policing, city council, all this was happening around us while we were trying to live in the moment and create our own approximation of a safe space, exist in our bubble, like lots of people do. Our bubble happened to be made up of party crews, the parties, all the partygoers. That was our community. And we were good at creating that community. So good that we found ways of connecting with party crews all across the city and county. And we soon realized that our world was bigger than we had ever imagined.
What was the moment where you were like, oh shit, this is getting bigger than I thought? Or when was that?
When people start asking me to post their flyer on the site, when the servers begin to crash, right? Because there's just so many people trying to log in.
That's next time. This episode was written, reported, and hosted by me, Janice Yamoka. Our show is produced and reported by Sophia Palisa Carr, Victoria Alejandro, and Kyle Chang, and edited by Antonia Cerejido. Additional editing by Annie Aviles. Fact-checking by Nidia Bautista. Sound design and original music composition by Kyle Murdoch. Our supervising producer is Janet Lee. Art by Julie Ruiz and Victoire Coyon. Our executive producer from Vice Audio is Kate Osborne. Our executive producers from LA Studios are Antonia Cerejido and Leo G. Our vice president of podcasts from LA Studios is Shayna Naomi Crockmo. Special thanks to the UCLA Department of Communication Archive for access to their news collection. Party Crew's The Untold Story is a production of LA Studios and Vice Audio in partnership with iHeart's My Cultura podcast network. For more podcasts, listen to the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. And hey, were you in a party crew? Send us your party flyers or photos. I'd love to see them. Even a voice message about your memories, anything. You can send us a message or a picture at partycruise@leastudios.com. Support for this podcast is made possible by Gordon and Donna Crawford, who believe that quality journalism makes Los Angeles a better place to live. This program is made possible in part by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, a private corporation funded by the American people.
Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.